God's grace and peace be with us as we begin a new year, and we certainly celebrate one of the more important feast days in the life of the church. I'm not sure you realize how important it is, but it is an important feast day in the life of the church, the Epiphany, or the manifestation of Christ to the world. In the last few weeks, we've focused on the birth of Jesus as a babe in the manger. We've celebrated with songs and carols. We've raised our voices even as we've enjoyed these wonderful decorations, which will soon be gone. Please feast your eyes on them just a little while longer. I tend to think perhaps it's not a bad idea to keep them a bit longer, but we move from one season to the next and we prepare for each one. And so soon the lights here within the church and upon these Christmas trees will be extinguished, and the Christmas trees themselves will be gone. But the light of Christ should remain in our hearts throughout the entire year. What a wonderful thing we have when we think about this season of Epiphany. It begins with a star. And of course, our season ends with the Transfiguration, but that's a ways off yet. Again, begins with light and ends with light. And in this season of darkness, light is so very important to us, and we must keep the light not only in our houses but also in our hearts. What a great God we have, that God should give to his people a star in order for those who are not Jews but are Gentiles to give them the opportunity to see the very Son of God and Messiah. God wants to make sure the world acknowledges the birth of his Son, so therefore a star rises and is followed by wise men. How many? I don't know. The question always comes up. How many wise men were there? By tradition, three, with three gifts. We really don't know. But they see the star in the sky, and they are probably astrologers or scientists or people who know that when certain things happen in the heavens, they happen as portents of greater things that are happening on earth. So things happen in the heavens in order to acknowledge someone great here on earth, and they see the rising of this new star, and they say, ah, the King of the Jews has been born. Let us prepare ourselves, put a caravan together, gather some wonderful gifts for this king to pay him homage, and let us make our way to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is the capital of the people of Israel. And so they do that. And of course it takes some time. It's not easy to get people together or camels on short notice, and so it takes some time. And so they travel a great distance to see King Herod, who is a puppet king of the Romans, not a proper king, but a puppet king in name only. And they say, where is this king who has been born? We have seen his star. And I smile as I think of what's going on in King Herod's mind, because he doesn't know that he has lost his throne to a greater king. And as our gospel says, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. For indeed what they thought was true from this puppet king is no longer true. A greater king has been born. And so they go back and forth. King Herod, who should know scripture, calls his chief priests and scribes together and asks of them, where will the Messiah be born? And they say, in Bethlehem. For as the prophet said, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd Israel. And of course, now King Herod has to begin to plan. How can he get rid of this king that has been born? So as we hear, then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Because if he knows exactly when this new king has been born in Bethlehem, perhaps he can shorten that king's life. And later on in the Gospel of Matthew, you can find him do just such a terrible thing, the slaughter of innocents in Bethlehem. as he tries to kill the Messiah, tries to kill the one who is greater than him. Happily, Joseph in a dream is told by an angel that he should flee. And so he and Mary and the baby Jesus go down to Egypt. And again, read the scriptures. They do a much better job of describing it than I do. But on the way, since they've come such a great distance, these wise men, these kings, give the gifts which they had wanted to give to Jesus. They follow the star, and curiously, it stops over the house where Mary is with the babe. And I must admit, that's one of the things in the scripture that just stops me dead in my tracks. All of us have looked up at the sky at stars. You can stand in one town and look at a star and drive 50 miles and look at that star, and it doesn't seem to move very much. You can go 100 miles, 1,000 miles. How that star could point to a particular house is indeed a miracle in its own making, but it does. It stops in the sky and it stops over the house in which Mary is with the child Jesus. And they enter the house with joy and they pay him homage and they offer gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And as they have been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they leave to their country by another road. God is such a great God that he not only puts a star in the sky as a sign that his son has been born, King of kings and Lord of lords, but indeed he moves that star so that it'll point at the particular dwelling where the baby Jesus is. Only a remarkable God would do such a miracle. And he does so for three or perhaps more wise men or king as a way of signaling to them that they are part of this salvation that he is giving to the people of Israel. We hear this again from St. Paul, who says that it's his mission to reach out to the Gentiles. And curiously enough, if you're not a faithful Jew, you're a Gentile. I'm pretty sure there aren't too many Jews in the congregation today. Probably a lot of Gentiles. It probably goes back a couple generations too. People who were not originally part of God's chosen people, but who were adopted into that family through the blood of Jesus Christ. What that means is salvation has come to the world through Jesus Christ, not just to God's chosen people, but to the world itself. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was thinking how many clubs that we belong to, how many groups or institutions we belong to. And most of those clubs or institutions have certain requirements. In order to be part of that club, you need to be able to do something or be something or have something or know something. So if you're part of an alumni association, you probably need to go to a college or an educational institution. If you're a Republican and you're part of the Schuylkill County Republicans, you probably need to be registered as a Republican. I'm not sure you have to vote, but you certainly have to be registered. If you are part of a ladies group, it probably helps to be a lady. Most of the groups that we belong to have certain restrictions or certain standards. And I thought about, what is the one group that will accept you regardless of your race or creed or color or age or sexuality or understanding? What is the one group to whom you can join who will accept you without anything else, any conditions? And the only group I could think about was the Church of Jesus Christ. It is this church that God has given to us through his Son. There are no requirements to come here. There really aren't. If you're willing to join us, we're willing to accept you. If you hear the word of God and it touches your heart, then come, hear God's word, share in the sacrament, grow in faith, be part of our ministry. We don't care what you're wearing. We don't care how young or old you are. We don't care if you went to college or didn't. We don't care how you voted in the last election. You can be young, you can be old, you can be rich, you can be poor, you can be sick, you can be well. It doesn't matter. You are welcome here. What a wonderful message that is. And that is the message of the Epiphany. That the Christ child has come for the world's sake and not just for God's chosen people. Not that we don't hold them in affection, but the point is God has sent his love to the world, and so we too should tell the world about this child and how God loves us so much he sent his child for our sake, so that by his life, death, and resurrection we might have forgiveness of sin and the promise of eternal life. It is all good. It belongs to everyone. Nothing holds it back, and we do not keep it a secret. There are some people who don't like to talk about their faith. I don't think there's anything wrong with people about talking about their faith. If you're a Hindu, you should believe in your gods, and you should be able to talk about them. If you're a Jew, you should be able to talk about how God has been faithful to your people. If you're a Muslim, I don't have a problem talking to you about your God, Allah. But as a Christian, I should be able to do the same thing. And I do so not to make you feel bad, but to welcome you into a family which began before me and will likely continue after me. But in the midst of this family, the opportunity to meet God and to experience God's love and to be part of his ministry, not our ministry. We don't do this. God does it. God does ministry through us. And so as we begin the season of Epiphany, keep this idea of the light of Christ in your hearts and minds. Think about it. Share it with others. We are here to be enlightened by God, and we are here to share that light with others. You can light one candle to a dozen candles. None of the candles are diminished by sharing their light. Let us share the light and love of Christ with others. Let us do so as gently or as boldly as seems appropriate. And when we make mistakes, let us admit we've made mistakes, for God is forgiving. And sometimes God speaks more boldly through our mistakes than through our planned speeches. I've heard people hear me preach and they said, "Pastor, when you preached, I heard this message and I want to thank you for telling me that dot, 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 dot." And I'll go back over my sermon and I never said that. Somehow the Holy Spirit had this get into this person's mind. I don't know how it got in there, but it was a real benefit to this person and I had nothing to do with it. Sometimes I make mistakes and people thank me for them. How nice that is. That is definitely the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us be bold with our faith to those who need boldness. Let us be gentle with our faith to those who are timid and shy and need gentleness. But let us be willing to share our faith. Most importantly, through what we say, but more importantly, through what we do. People will know us by our kindness and love, not only to one another, but to those who are not quite like us because of circumstances beyond perhaps even their control. May God strengthen us in faith and be a blessing to us in every moment of our lives. May this be our best Epiphany season ever. Amen.